1230 AM WDBZ, Cincinnati.
1230 WDBZ. It's the Lincoln Ware Show till 2 o'clock this afternoon. And as promised, the book, The Last Best Hope, Restoring Conservatism and America's Promise. Morning, Joe. Joe Scarborough, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. I thought Barack Obama was restoring America's promise.
Well, you know, it's sort of, for me, it's sort of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
And you know, somebody listening to your audience that's a Democrat might think that as a Republican, I'm writing this book saying, well, everything was great until Barack Obama and Democrats took over.
And pretty much, I think that's what you're saying.
No, actually,
you're saying it started with the Republicans.
With the Republicans. You know, Republicans are screaming and yelling now, socialism, it's socialism, and the age of Reagan is dead. What I write in my book is, if the age of Reagan is dead, it was not Barack Obama who killed it. And if we are now moving to a socialist age, that didn't happen when Barack Obama got elected. That happened over the past 8 years with George W. Bush and the Republicans spending more money than anybody ever had before it. So I will tell you, I'm not really excited about Barack Obama's spending plans, but at the same time, I am hopeful when you look at his foreign policy. I think he is the first realist that we've had in the White House since George Bush Sr., since Bush 41. And he's got some serious minds around him in foreign policy. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, it's a mixed bag. I'm not excited about the deficits. In fact, they scare me.
Well, everybody complains about his spending policies, but no one has a better idea.
Well, I do.
Oh, and what is it?
Spend less.
But here's
the deal, though. It's a two-part issue, okay? You've got the short-term spending that we need because this economy is hurting. Unemployment's going up to 10%. You do need to stimulate the economy. And the president, I think, has got that part of the equation right as far as the need to spend. And we could quibble. I actually wish that President Obama's stimulus spending plan had gotten through instead of Nancy Pelosi's version. But you know, he took his plan up to Capitol Hill.
Right.
The Democrats revolted, and they said, no, we're going to write the bill. Actually, Barack Obama's plan, stimulus spending plan, a lot more bipartisan, and I think it would have actually helped the economy a lot more than Nancy Pelosi's. But, you know, Washington is a very weird place, and so he had to defer to Pelosi.
Now, in the book, you talk about the Republican Party. They need to retool. And they've got some serious problems ahead when people think Rush Limbaugh and Newt Gingrich should be that they speak for the party.
Well, the biggest problem is all Republicans love to talk about Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan this, Ronald Reagan that. Well, you know, Ronald Reagan was a conservative ideologically. They got that right. But temperamentally, Reagan wasn't a hater. And as I say in this book, and as I say in speeches as I go around trying to talk to Republicans and Democrats, I say, you know, if Ronald Reagan were alive, he wouldn't be calling Barack Obama a communist. If Ronald Reagan were alive, he wouldn't be calling the first Hispanic nominee to the Supreme Court a racist. We Republicans have been so harsh temperamentally, and we've said things that have scared middle America. There's a reason why Barack Obama, who, you know, he was rated as the most liberal senator in the U.S. Senate. He's probably the most liberal president that we've had since FDR. There's a reason why middle America trusts him, even if he's more liberal than, I think, middle America. And it's because he carries himself in a way that inspires confidence. And he's found that he doesn't yell.
And he doesn't scare the hell out of
people. He doesn't scare the hell out of people. He's cool. He's compassionate. And he's found the middle of America temperamentally. And that's where Republicans have lost it, whether it's George W. Bush or Newt Gingrich or Karl Rove or you name it, all the talk show hosts. They've lost middle America. And again, it's got little to do with ideology. It's got an awful lot to do with their temperament and with their personality.
They're angry.
You don't win by being angry. You know, we all get angry sometimes. I get angry. But that just, you know, people don't want to see that in politicians. If you want to yell, you know, go into a closet, scream, and then come out and inspire confidence. That's what this president has done, and that's what Republicans need to figure out how to do.
And do you think they'll do that?
They've got to. I mean,
within the next 4 years,
they got to reform or die. And you know, I'm starting to. I criticized Rush Limbaugh for calling Sotomayor a racist, and for also saying that Colin Powell should not be in the Republican Party. And when I first did it, I got attacked by a lot of people. But then a funny thing started happening when I didn't back down. Suddenly, Charles Krauthammer, a very conservative columnist, started talking about how we had to be more respectful of those with whom we disagreed. You had Peggy Noonan that wrote a column, Reagan speechwriter Peggy Noonan, in the Wall Street Journal, who said Republicans need to grow up. We've got to check ourselves temperamentally. And I think that people are finally starting to get that message. Mm-hmm. Well, let's hope.
The name of the book, The Last Best Hope. We got people who want to talk to you, Joe.
Great.
And I got a couple of instant messages here. Somebody wanted me to ask you, they said, could you ask Joe what he thinks about the latest Gallup poll where Republicans see Rush Limbaugh, Dick Cheney, and Newt Gingrich as the party leaders? The last best hope of Republicans can't be Newt, Limbaugh, and Cheney. Does Scarborough know that WDBZ, this radio station, is a black station? They want to know if you knew this was a black station before you were booked to call in here.
I did, and it yeah. You know, it's irrelevant to me. I understand that. I'm just saying, yeah. It's an American station,
right? Right.
And what I'm finding out is when I'm going out talking, there are a lot of people in the middle. I went to Princeton last night. That ain't a conservative bastion of Republicanism. And I found a lot of people there who were sick and tired of the shrillness on both sides, mm-hmm. from conservatives and from liberals. And, you know, they're looking at themselves as Americans first. And I think I think we've come to a stage in this country where people are just, they're sick and tired of what's divided us over the past 16 years, 8 years of George W. Bush, 8 years of Bill Clinton, all of these political wars. That's why some of the more harsh ideologues on the Republican side, they need to understand their time has come and their time is gone.
And they can't seem to get it, though.
And if they don't get it, the party dies. And I mean it dies because, you know, the age of the Internet, you got somebody like Barack Obama who raises $650 million over the in large part by the internet,
and you know, $10, $15, $20 a hit,
a chunk. And then you got Ron Paul, a libertarian, a backbencher, who actually outraised the Republican establishment for a couple of quarters in the 2008 campaign on the power of the internet. So conservatives don't need the Republican Party as much as the Republican Party needs conservatives. And I'm not talking about the harsh ideologues. I'm talking about traditional conservatives.
All right, let's go to the telephones. Callers, keep the questions short and no commentary, please. Geekster.
Hey, Lincoln. Hey, Joe. How's it going?
Speak up, Geekster.
Hey, Lincoln. Joe, how's it going?
Hey, doing great.
Yeah. Hey, I used to watch you on Scarborough Country. I think as conservatives go, you're probably one of the most fair of the lot. But my question to you is, what is the Republican Party's problem with universal health care and specifically a single-payer system, given that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, who used to be squarely against it, they're now for it because businesses can no longer carry the cost of health care? And what is the Republican Party's problem with that?
Well, that's a great point.
Thank you.
Because we're losing, and that's why I don't think you're going to find this health care debate as heated as we saw in 1993, 1994, because businesses are losing jobs. Mm-hmm. I mean, the car companies are just getting pounded by overseas competition because of health care costs. So I think the biggest problem is it just comes down to fundamentals. I think a lot of conservatives don't believe that you get great efficiency from a centralized government running everybody's health care. Of course, the problem is that there are so many inefficiencies in health care in the free marketplace that it seems like the federal government needs to step in and bridge the gap, especially for those 47 million people that don't have health care insurance. I mean, let's face it. I mean, there are going to have to be trade-offs. If you want nationalized health care, you're not going to get the doctor you want every time.
Right, right. And some people, that might be an issue.
Right. But there's that trade-off. And the question is, do we as a country want to sacrifice a lot of our individual rights on health care choice to make sure everybody's insured? You can't have everything. And it's about, again, being grown up and making those tough choices.
All
and
right.
I think, again, because like the caller said, I mean, a great point. Because we're losing jobs overseas because of the skyrocketing cost of health care, I think we may be able to find a middle ground on the issue, which is good news for everybody.
And it'll just shoot right through. Let's go to a kinder, gentler Republican, Ken Anderson.
Hey, Lincoln and Joe Scarborough. Very quickly, I've been pushing this issue about 3% money, having government-backed loans, 3% money allowing people to refinance their mortgages, their cards, their student loans, credit cards. And the only time the government would actually pay any money is if someone defaulted on a 3% loan. And I just wanted to know if you thought that would perhaps help stimulate the economy, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks for your call.
I like it. I think that's a great idea. You know, there are a lot of people, and I've got friends, and I've got a family member that's stuck in one of these mortgages that ballooned out. And he's you know, he keeps talking to banks, saying, hey, give me 5%, give me 6%, instead of 10, 11, 12%. And he's caught in the middle, and right now it looks like, you know, they may foreclose on his house, which is bad for his neighborhood. It's bad for him, obviously. It's bad for the economy. So, yeah, I mean, that's a constructive way that the federal government can get involved and extend loans to people in, for instance, my family member's position. And you prevent a default on a mortgage, you prevent the values of homes going down all around him, and you help the economy recover more quickly. That sounds like a great idea.
Have you heard about this one-year mortgage moratorium? A couple of talk show hosts are trying to get this out, Joe Madison and others. Have you heard about this?
The No.
one-year mortgage holiday. You won't have to make any monthly principal or interest mortgage payments for 1 year, and all those payments would really stimulate the economy more than it would if you got payments from the government. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, obviously there are a lot of complications here. But let me tell you why that's actually a more conservative concept than the federal government sending stimulus money to states and businesses. Because that's the individual deciding how to use his or her money best.
Right, right.
And that individual knows what they need a heck of a lot more than the federal government in Washington, D.C. knows. So if you're a small business person in Cincinnati and you're in a position where your company's about to go under, you don't have to pay mortgage for a year, and you can reinvest in your company in a smart way to get through this really bad time. Guess what? You save your company. If you got three or four people working for your company, you save their jobs. That keeps tax revenue up to Cincinnati and the state of Ohio and the federal government. That is a pretty darn good idea.
Yeah. Well, you'll hear more about it, I'm pretty sure. It's you can go to this website, saveoureconomy.com, and read more up on it. We need to take a break, Joe. We'll come right back to you.
Okay, thanks.
Hold on. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Joe Scarborough, the name of the book, The Last Best Hope.
30 AM WDBZ.com.
1230 WDBZ, Lincoln Ware with you. The Last Best Hope, Restoring Conservatism and America's Promise. Joe Scarborough is my guest. We only have about another three or four more minutes, so callers, keep it quick. Joe, you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go to Glenn and Mason. Glenn.
Lincoln, how's it going?
All right.
How's it going, Joe?
Hey, going great, Glenn. How you doing today?
Hey, Joe, I'm a big fan of yours.
Oh, thank you.
I work during the time of your show, but I always try to catch you on MSNBC, some of the clips. Let me ask you real quick, which is a harsher interview, you dealing with Lincoln Ware or the interview you did with Chris Matthews Monday?
Well, let me tell you, Lincoln is being very polite to me. Chris Matthews was a rabid dog.
I'm a big fan of his too, Joe.
I know. I love Chris, but he kept on to talk about gay marriage and abortion. I kept asking him why he was so obsessed with gay marriage. I wanted to talk about national security and the deficit.
But yeah. You did promise, Joe, that those were questions you will answer once you decide to become president.
No, there you go. I would rather Washington D.C. Not be obsessed with gay marriage and abortion. I'd rather worry about our economy, and I think that's one of the problems. The Republican Party has been seen for too long as being obsessed with these social issues.
They gotta
put people's jobs and the nation's security ahead of that.
Well, let me say, Joe, wish all the best of luck to you. I'm diametrically opposed to you. Many of your political views. I'm a progressive Democrat, 41-year-old African-American. Your book, The Last Best Hope, you've actually done something that many conservative Republicans don't do, and that's actually call into a black radio station and give an interview and take calls. You never know, Joe. People might be interested in what you have to say. And real quick, we live in a city where we have probably one of the more shriller voices of the conservative right. When John McCain was in town doing a rally, the conservative host here kept talking about Barack Obama's middle name. In the Joe Scarborough America, is that the type of red meat you will feed to your voting base, or will you come with something different?
Well, all right, Glenn.
I was excited about Barack Obama's middle name when he gave the speech in Cairo, and what I said all last year was that we shouldn't look at Barack Hussein Obama as a slur. We should look at it as an opportunity. And I kept saying specifically, imagine what this man can do in the Middle East for this country. And as I said this past week, and a lot of Republicans got upset with me, I said, Barack Obama is the only person that could deliver that speech. And they go, well, why do you say that? That's not true. I said, do you think they would listen to those words at Cairo University better coming from a Barack Hussein Obama or a John Sidney McCain?
Oh, boy, they wouldn't have. Not at all.
McCain couldn't have said those words. I couldn't have said those words.
No way.
So, yeah, you take, and this is what I kept trying to explain to a lot of my Republican friends, you take whatever advantage you can to help this country. And make no mistake about it, on foreign policy, Barack Obama can help all Americans and by reaching out to the world in a way that past presidents couldn't reach out to the world, whether you're talking about the Middle East or whether you're talking about Africa or whether you're talking about Indonesia or whether you're talking about all of these other areas in the world that Barack Obama has family ties or where he lived before.
And Joe,
they're great opportunities.
I'm out of one quick question before I go. Michael Steele, is he the man to lead the Republicans?
Well, you know, he's got to stop making it about Michael Steele. Every time he goes on, he doesn't talk about conservative ideas or Republican ideas. It always gets back to him. I like him a lot, but it needs to be less about him and more about the future direction of the party.
The last best hope, restoring conservatism and America's promise. Joe Scarborough, pick up the book at major bookstores everywhere. Thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Wedge, it's been great talking to you.
We'll talk to you now.
All right.
See you later.
Bye.
All right, that's Joe Scarborough. That's going to wrap it up for me. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, right here on 1230 WDBZ, Cincinnati.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looked so young.
I told her I couldn't believe how smooth her face looks. She's lost, what, 10 years at least?
I look at her and it's like I'm looking at a picture of my wife from 20 years ago. It's incredible.
How are ordinary women across America looking years younger? They've discovered the proven breakthrough called Hydroxytone. It erases wrinkles, tightens skin, and makes frown lines disappear from view. See for yourself by requesting a free trial of Hydroxytone today. The results are so impressive. Hydroxytone was given away in VIP gift bags at international film festivals. Try Hydroxytone risk-free and shed years from your appearance faster than you thought possible.
She always looked good to me, but now I can't believe how young she looks.
Call now for your free trial of Hydroxytone. For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-700-2871. But hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-700-2871. 1-800-700-2871.
Cincinnati, what's going down? Your best friend Don Juan for show here. You know the best furniture store around?
Leland Furniture.
Jane.
Let me tell you why. They hooked my living room up with a 14-piece leather living room package for just $14.94. It includes sofa, love seat, cocktail table, two end tables, two lamps, area rug, Chanel throw, and five accessories. I get my shop on there. You have to get your shop on, too. And you know, I didn't have anything to worry about because Anita Furniture, they carry their own accounts, no banks involved, free delivery and setup, and free layaway. Then let me tell you what else they hooked me up with. I just got some bunk beds for Lil Don Juan for show and also Lil Reekster. And they hooked me up. Always start doing it like this. It's really easy to get to. It's at Family Market, 130 West Elder Street. Here's a phone number. Call this right now. 421-1830. That's 421-1830. Also, make sure you take advantage of the fire sale merchandise. Save up to 70% off. Most items are one of a kind. Limited quality. So get them right now. Head to Leader Furniture, baby.
There was a time when some individuals were relegated to sitting in the back of the bus. When Jackie Robinson and Larry Doby could not play on the same fields with Babe Ruth and Ted Williams. Join Major League Baseball as we celebrate the strides made in our society with the Gillette Civil Rights Game. The Gillette Civil Rights Game is a weekend of events honoring those who toiled on and off the field for the rights of all of us to live equally. As part of our celebration, we hold the Major League Baseball Beacon Awards luncheon on Saturday, June 20th. At Duke Energy Center, where we'll honor and hear from American legends Hank Aaron, Muhammad Ali, and Bill Cosby. Former President Bill Clinton will deliver our keynote address, and Grammy Award-winning singer B.B. Winans will perform. Individual tickets are $100 and includes two tickets to Saturday night's Civil Rights Game. Plus, there's special table packages available. For tickets to the luncheon, MLB.com/Civil Rights Game. Be part of the Gillette Civil Rights Game weekend because a level playing field makes winners of us all. Toyota and PNC Bank are proud sponsors of the Beacon Awards luncheon.
Okay, welcome back. We do have lines available for today's topic, how to save every penny you can. Next caller, please.
Hello. I'm a professional disclaimer reader. I must warn you, this call may not be valid in certain states.
Huh? What? I'm sorry, caller, but I can't quite make out what
you're talking about saving money, and that means sales. And when you hear someone talking really fast, it means there's a sale so big that it's almost illegal to talk about. Your mileage may vary.
Hey, speaking of sales.